Welcome to EarnestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, we're going to discuss a topic that we have titled Words Related to the Blood Atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our previous two sessions, we did a short series on the blood of Jesus. We would also encourage you to go and listen to that and also download and read the document upon which it was based. Now, when we start talking about the words related to the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see that sometimes there are theological terms that are used to describe that blood, and then there's also Bible terms that are used to describe those words. And the purpose of this brief presentation is to explain some of those words that we sometimes hear in preaching and teaching that we may not understand totally. So we have several words that relate to that blood atonement, and those words are primarily substitution, vicarious, propitiation, and redemption, and also reconciliation. And we're going to discuss those here briefly today and try to explain them to you. Substitution. Although we do not find this word in the Bible, its meaning when applied to the death of Jesus Christ most certainly is. Christ's death was a substitutionary death, which means he died in the place of another. What that means, folks, is that Christ died for you, and he died for me. In other words, he died for us. The Lord Jesus Christ died a substitutionary death when he personally took upon himself the responsibility for all our guilt and the punishment of all of our sins. So in that sense, he was a substitution for that which we should have suffered. We're going to go and read now in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Romans 5, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Galatians 2, verse 20, Isaiah 53, verse 6. And we also see the Lord Jesus Christ pictured in the scapegoat in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 21 and 22. In that sense, he was a type. The scapegoat was a type of Christ himself, our substitute. That scapegoat was the substitute, in other words. Romans 4, verse 25 states this, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Romans 5, 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see the whole idea of substitution running through these scriptures that we're reading. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's, again, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Galatians 2:20 says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Then we have Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Then we have Leviticus chapter 16, verses 21 and 22, which is a type of Christ presented in the identity of the scapegoat. Verse 21 of Leviticus 16, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him and all the iniquities, confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. So all the passages that we just read shows that the Lord Jesus Christ was substituted for us when we should have been the one to have suffered the penalty, when we should have been the one to die. Instead, he suffered and he died. He was substituted in your place. Next up, we have the word vicarious. Christ's death was vicarious. This is a word that is similar to substitution and means Christ died on behalf of another. A vicar is one who takes the place of another and acts in his stead. Hence, the wicked blasphemy of the Pope who claims to be the vicar of Christ. Christ did not die for his own sins, but for the sins of others. He died on behalf of others. And then we have this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Then we have 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being quickened by the Spirit. So that vicarious again means that Christ died on our behalf. And then we have the term that's used a few times in the New Testament, and that term is propitiation. Christ's death was propitiatory. The word means to appease, placate, or pacify. Jesus appeased the wrath of God by becoming our covering. And by the way, that's another alternative meaning of the word propitiation, is a covering. He hides our sinfulness, making us holy in the sight of God. When God looks at the Christian, he does not see a sinner, but Christ. And we're going to go and read several passages of Scripture again. Romans 3:25, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Folks, it is the blood of Christ which propitiates or covers us. That's the primary meaning of propitiation. It is the blood of Jesus Christ which propitiates or covers us from the wrath of God. Now, we're also going to read Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and also we're going to read Romans chapter 5, verse 9 again. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, read that there now, that is a covering, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Romans 3:25. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, states this, and he is the propitiation, once again, the covering, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. Next up, we've got 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, where we see that word propitiation again. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Once again, that propitiation is a covering for our sins. And then we have Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Then we have Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The next word we're going to look at is that word redemption. Christ's death was redemptive. The word redemption or redeem has to do with the thought of purchasing or buying back or ransoming. We see that described in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25, and also in verses 48 and 49, and in Leviticus 27, verse 20. So let's go and read those. Verse 25 of Leviticus 25, if thy brother be waxen poor and sold away, some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. That is the principle of redemption there. Next up we have Leviticus chapter 25, verses 48 and 49. After that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself. And then we have this in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 20. If he will not redeem the field, or if he have sold the field to another, it shall not be redeemed any more. That's Leviticus chapter 27 through 20, which shows us and gives us illustrations of the idea of redemption. And we need to say this. The ransom is not paid to Satan, as some falsely teach, but it is paid to the justice of God. The thought of redemption and salvation is borrowed from the ancient slave markets. The sinner is enslaved by sin. Jesus Christ has paid the price in full. We are bought by him, therefore we are his. We are bought out of sin, in other words, redeemed out of sin, therefore we are no longer the servants of sin. We are set free, the Bible word is that we are made free by him. Therefore, we are no longer in bondage to sin. Now let's go and read several more passages of scripture relating to this particular topic. Matthew 20 verse 28 states this, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Romans chapter 3 verse 24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Romans chapter 6 verses 17 and 18, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Next up we have Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." Galatians chapter 4 verses 4 and 5 read as follows, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Again, that is Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Ephesians 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace." Next up, we have Ephesians 1, verse 14, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory." Next up, we've got Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye were sealed unto the day of redemption." Colossians 1, verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." And that ransom was paid for the purpose of redemption. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Next up, we're going to read Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 through 16. And might I say this before we read that, the book of Hebrews is the bloodiest book in the New Testament. That word blood is used 22 different times in it. The only book in the Bible that is more bloody is the book of Leviticus. And of course, the book of Hebrews is all about the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood and his role as being our high priest. But verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll read through verse 16. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkle the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there also must be necessity be the death of the testator. And then next up we have 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That again is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Next up, we have that word that we quite often hear from pulpits and from lecterns, reconciliation. Now, through the death of Christ, man is reconciled or restored to fellowship with God. The Bible does not say that God is reconciled to man, for the offense came not from God. Christ's death removed the enmity existing between God and man. In other words, we were reconciled. Sin, folks, is a barrier to fellowship. And we're going to go and read several passages of Scripture that show you that. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Next up, we got Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. There's that word reconciliation, or reconciled. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Next up, we have 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And why do we need reconciliation? Because we are at enmity with God. It is that reconciliation that sets aside that enmity. Then we have Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And of course, he's talking about the reconciliation of both the Jew and the Gentile. And that is all made possible by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And having made peace through the blood of him, his cross, by him to reconcile. There's that word again. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So we see that whole idea of reconciliation, setting aside the enmity that exists between God and man because of our sin. Then we have Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful, or might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Now, we have discussed five different terms that are used and or words that relate to the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've talked about substitution, the word vicarious, and we've talked about propitiation, we've talked about redemption, and finally we talked about reconciliation. I want to close this particular session by identifying to you the five offerings that give a full picture of the work of Christ. And those five offerings, of course, are blood offerings, and we will give you those now. There were the sweet savor offerings, which look at the sin of the belief of which look at the sin bearer himself, and those offerings were in Leviticus chapter 1, which was the burnt offering, and that pictured Christ's perfect death. And then in Leviticus chapter 2, we have what was called the meal offering, and that pictured Christ's perfect life. And then we have Leviticus chapter 3, which pictures the peace offering, which is a picture of Christ's perfect work. And then up next we have what are called the non-sweet savoring offerings. And what they're doing is, rather than looking at the sin bearer himself, it is looking at the sin itself. Leviticus chapter 4, we see that sin offering, and it is for the guilt of sin or iniquity. And then in Leviticus chapter 5, we have the trespass offering, which was given for the effect of sin. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, he fulfilled every one of those offerings. And in doing so, he set aside any offering of bulls and goats and animals as sacrifices for sin, and he became that offering. And we need to remember that what that done, folks, for us is that the blood of Jesus, when his blood was offered, that set aside any idea that our works could save us. Because if our works could have saved us, why in the world would God the Father have sent the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the cross to die for our sins? But he fulfilled all of those offerings for us, and thank God for it. That is all that we have for today. Thank you for joining us.